time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Greetings, everyone. I come to you from the land of ice and snow called South Carolina. But I know it's okay. It's okay. We're going to get through this. I know it's cold out there, but I invite you to come warm yourself from the inside out with Pastor Adam's podcast. I'm here for you. Apparently, what is it, like 80% of the country is under this cold weather advisory for being, you know, cold and snowy. We did get a few inches of snow here in South Carolina, and it's so dumb to me. This morning, I turned on the news, and there was like a local news segment where people send in their pictures of the snow, and it's literally like, look at our shed. It has snow on it. Our backyard, there's snow. There's a road full of snow. Then they'll be like, look at my kid doing a snow angel. It's like, I don't know. It just seems weird to me. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but I hate snow. I think I have some sort of PTSD from snow from year after year, grueling shoveling, like I'd been working in a coal mine where my life revolved around shoveling for my freedom. That's what I kind of feel like. It's just like, ugh. And when I see people having fun in the snow, I'm like, get a life. I know. I got to work on it. And I'm like, it's not that cool. All right. And they're like, I've never seen snow before. I don't care. I thought I got away from the snow from moving here. But the good news is just the other day, I saw that there's a beach in Aruba where you can frolic with flamingos, one of my favorite animals. And I don't think they get snow in Aruba. I'm just saying that that could be my next destination. Maybe it's Aruba. Are there, just for a quick question, is there any churches in Aruba looking for a worship pastor? I'm asking for a friend. And this morning when I let the dogs out, you know, they're South Carolina dogs. They've never seen snow. They were confused. They were like, what the smurf is this? And, speaking of dogs, I haven't talked about this, but we did get a new dog. Her name is Rosie. She's a full-blooded, I think she's a European Basset Hound. Here's a pic of her. I'll put it right up there. Yeah, she's adorable. She's adorable. Look at those droopers. Look at those ears. My friend Greg said she looks like a cartoon character. And I think that this is a good segue into what I really want to talk about today in length. We're gonna spend some time here. This could be a lengthy podcast devotional today. But guess what? It's cold. There's a weather advisory probably where you're at. I'm going out on a limb saying that. And so most people are probably sitting at home doing nothing anyway. So you're welcome. I'm here for you. You have something to listen to now. So all these things I'm going to share with you today, they kind of bring us to our devotional. So here it is. Expectations. We all have them. And sometimes they're met, but I'd venture to say most are probably missed at some point. The weather today, my expectations moving here 4.5 years ago, that I was donezo with the snow. But my expectations apparently weren't that realistic, because here we are. Rosie, our new dog, my expectation in thinking about even going down this road and getting another dog and a Basset Hound of all dogs, that she might be a handful, because Basset Hounds are difficult and stubborn. Now, you have to remember, we raised Millie, our other Basset Beagle mix, from a pup, and me and her had some epic battles. It was a war of the wills. She was a lot to deal with, right? But Rosie, she has exceeded expectations. She's very well behaved. She's potty trained. I mean, she is 4 years old, about to be 4 years, but she's lovable. She's so easy and such a blessing so far. All she wants to do is just be loved and sit in your lap and just cuddle with you. Now, I do have to say, there is one drawback of Rosie. So, she was used as a breeding dog for the first 3+ years of her life. And she, I guess she was pretty much an outdoor dog, with apparently no one really caring for her and giving her love, which is a little bit sad. So no one really took care of her hygiene. It wasn't at the top of their priority list. And when I say that, I'm just telling you, her breath could take down a dung beetle. Her breath is horrendous. You can smell it through her snoot. I said to Lauren when whiffing her death breath that when we get her dental work done, because she for sure has rotten teeth and bunch that need to go, they're gonna have to pull some teeth, they're gonna have to, they got some major work to do in her mouth, that I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled out an old dead rat from her jowls. She, because she has deep enough droopers that she could probably hide a rat in there that's been rotting for 4 years. I'm pretty sure that's a possibility. I'm not kidding. I mean, her breath is something to contend with. Something I didn't expect when we were getting her. Different expectations. That's what I'm saying. How about this? If you know me, which you probably do now, you know I've been a Dallas Cowboys fan forever. And last year I denounced my fandom because they seem to always disappoint me and miss the expectations that I set for them. They met and exceeded my expectations back in the 90s, but since 1995, my expectations have been missed over and over and over and over again. And by the way, you know what really bums me out? I only have one winter hat, you know, like a beanie that I could wear, and that's a Cowboys one. And guess what? I can't put it on. I denounce them. I won't be doing it. I can't. I won't. Now, there has been some rumblings out there, out in the Cowboys news world, that Deion Sanders could potentially be the next head coach for the Cowboys. And if that happens, I'm back. I'm all the way back. I'm wearing the jerseys, the hats. I'm living and dying on each play again. But with my 30 years of experience with them since 1995, I'm saying, missing my expectations and having that at the top of my mind, my expectations now are that they're going to not hire Deion Sanders, which they should do, and they will inevitably hire Kellen Moore, who was an offensive coordinator that was fired from the Cowboys a few years ago. And then they just continue being the Cowboys that we know them to be. That's what it is. And it's makes me sad. More expectations we can talk about. How about, let's talk Star Wars. We know I love Star Wars, but it's definitely had its ups and downs. My expectations have fluctuated with that. For instance, you have the original trilogy. Saw that when I was a child. Empire Strikes Back was my first movie. I loved it. The original trilogy, the gold standard. Right? Expectations for another trilogy when I'd say, hey, George Lucas is going to make another trilogy. And we're like, what? So our expectations were up here. And then we got the prequels. And they were not great, but I guess you could say they were entertaining. You could say that. You could say they were entertaining, right? There was some cool stuff in there. We can say that, but nowhere near the original trilogy. Not by a long shot, but entertaining, right? Then years go by, and then we get Rogue One. And that took place in the time in between the prequels and the original trilogy in the Star Wars timeline. And the expectations were, maybe. And then we saw the trailer, and the trailer was like, well, that looks pretty good. Maybe this will be good. And then after watching that, it exceeded expectations. And we meaning the Star Wars fandom out there, me included, we're riding high on Star Wars. Can't wait for the next thing. And then we get The Force Awakens, and it feels like a retread of past Star Wars stuff, But again, it's like, it's okay. It's got some fun aspects, right? But we say at least there's Star Wars, another movie, and hopefully the next movie is even better. But so our expectations were hopeful. Then we got two more movies that were kind of, you know, hot dog water. Not good. Also, there was the Solo movie that was sprinkled in there. And I personally liked that a lot. But I don't think a lot of people gave it a chance due to being let down by the other movies, right? Then Disney Plus came along with The Mandalorian. Now, at this time, most Star Wars fans, our expectations were like, I don't know, a TV show that's on this new streaming service? I mean, I guess I'll give it a try. Got nothing else to do on a Tuesday night. But expectations were nowhere near what they used to be after the original trilogy, because we got one great movie out of one decent one being the Solo one out of the next eight movies, right? So there was this like, but The Mandalorian, once it happened, was awesome. Like, it was so good. One of the best things Star Wars ever did. Everyone was hyped and loved it. Expectations grew. And believe it or not, season two of The Mandalorian exceeded our expectations with one of the greatest scenes of all time in the finale. Luke freaking Skywalker tearing it up and saving the day. I probably should have said spoiler alert, but I didn't. But it was so... I may go and watch it. I watched it 10 times already. I might watch it another 10 tonight. It's so good. So naturally, expectations were sky high for all things Star Wars. But then what happens next? Book of Boba Fett. Started out decent, but it got boring, kind of lame, and even the Mandalorian's guest appearances couldn't really save it. Made it better, for sure, but still wasn't a great series. Then there was the Obi-Wan series, and you'd think that that'd be great, because Vader was in it. There was a lot of really cool stuff, but there was like terrible, terrible acting, terrible writing, stupid things that happened, and it was just like, no. I was like, it's not good. Me and my friend Greg just ripped it. Then you had a series called Andor that was apparently good, but I called it Andor because it was so slow moving. But whatever. But then season three of The Mandalorian. Now season three, we had super high expectations because one and two, mind-blowingly good. Even if the other stuff in Star Wars was sort of meh or mid, as the kids would say it today. But when Mando season three came out, we were all like, we watched it and then we were like, what? It was so disappointing. Shouldn't have been called Mandalorian. Should have been called Bo-Katan, because that was who the series was about. The Mandalorian was pretty much a side character in his own series. And so it was like a punch to the gut. We were like, what happened here? And then after that was Ahsoka, and which I really liked again. I thought that was really good, but I think it got hurt from the bomb that was season three of Mando, and then it made people bitter and upset, and they didn't want to give it its due. So Ahsoka hasn't really been given that chance. Like I said, I really liked it, though. So in all this, I could say, whatever comes out, like, up to this point, I was like, whatever comes out of Star Wars, I'll watch it. I love Star Wars, so I'm going to just watch it for... see what it is. And then came The Acolyte, which that series took a big steamy dump on our beloved Star Wars franchise. It was so bad that people lost interest. The fans of Star Wars lost interest in Star Wars in general. Even The Mandalorian movie that's going to come out in 26, people are like, it's probably going to suck because so much trash has come out lately. And even there was a new series, The Skeleton Crew, that me and Lola watched, and it's got the lowest ratings because nobody even tuned in to watch it because of The Acolyte being so terrible and all the disappointments that we've had. All of our expectations have been missed in the last 5 years, I would say. And this leads me off of Star Wars to my latest missed expectation when it comes to TV shows, whatever. Actually, there's another one that happened last night, but let me get to this. So, I've talked about this before. one of my favorite TV shows of all time. The one that I believe is the funniest show ever to me. The funniest is a Nickelodeon show called Henry Danger. Yes, it's a kid, teen, superhero show with super low budget and cheeseball effects. But the comedy is priceless and ageless because I'm 38. I mean, 48. Oh, man, what are they? And I still watch it with Lola. Me and Lola watched it last night. Just shows. We watch the reruns because it's so good. And we laugh and we laugh. It's so good. It ended a few years ago. And then there was a spinoff called Danger Force. And I really didn't have any expectations for Danger Force because it was like mostly different cast. Still had two of the main characters, Captain Man and Schwoz, but it was decent enough, this Danger Force. It still had a couple funny moments here and there, whatever. But after a while, that series was canceled. And for me, it was like, whatever. Because it lost that magic that the original series had. So fast forward a couple more years, and last week, the Henry Danger movie came out. It happened. So I started seeing previews for it like a month ago. And in each preview, I saw a couple different ones. I did not see Captain Man at all. And I was like, why would that? So then I was like researching. I found out Captain Man's not going to be in the movie at all. And I'm like, what? Why? Why would you not do that? So my expectations for that movie were not good. So going in, I'm thinking, well, at least we get to see Henry and probably see some of the other characters that were there. You know, maybe it'll probably be okay. Maybe. I for sure didn't expect anything great. So again, expectations low. What did I get when me and Lola watched it? I got a giant turd of a movie. It was so bad. I only laughed once the whole time, and that was more of a small chuckle from a throwaway line that was in there. You see, the magic of the original show is the interaction between Henry and Captain Man. The jokes, the dialogue, the reactions. That's what made it so special and funny. Taking Captain Man out of that equation was literally the dumbest thing you could have done. A blind man could have seen that coming, right? At one point, as we were watching it, you know, like you fast forward through the commercials because it was on Nickelodeon, I said to Lola, we only have about 10 minutes left of this movie before it's over, and we never have to see this again. It was such a disappointment. And get this, the very last scene, we do get Captain Man. He said something like, I'm glad to see you. I need your help. And then it was like the end credits. That leads me to believe there'll be, I don't know, maybe another movie or a spinoff with Captain Man involved. But after seeing that horrendous, awful, terrible movie, I'm like, no thanks. I don't need any more of whatever you just gave me. It's enough. I'm done. And then just real quick, I know you're probably like, what do we... Last night I watched Gladiator 2. Gladiator, the first movie, fantastic. 2, my expectations are like, let's just see what this is. And it was pretty good, but I want a little more realism in my movies when it comes to period pieces. They filled the Colosseum with water and put sharks in there. But I'm like, come on, man. And also, one of the very first scenes where gladiators were fighting, they were fighting these big muscular monkeys. And I'm just like, I don't know. It was disappointing. This all leads me to the devotional today. We're here. We're here at the devotional. And you guessed it, we're going to be talking about expectations. So let's start out with the nature of expectations. Just as I had outlined so eloquently in my opening dialogue, as human beings, we all have these expectations. Expectations on everything, really. We expect, you know, our sports teams that we cheer for to win, the movies that we've been anticipating to live up to the hype, that the new president will bring change that we've been hoping for. We place our expectations on everything in life, our careers, relationships, finances, even our own personal growth. And these expectations, they often reflect our hopes and desires for the future. And they shape how we approach each day. I think that's fair to say. And I don't think that these expectations are bad. In fact, I think it's an important part of how we navigate the world. We set goals and envision the outcomes, and it helps us like work hard towards achieving them. However, while it's natural to have these expectations, the question remains is, what should our expectations be as Christians? Should our expectations mirror the world, or should they be rooted in Christ? And I think that we know the answer to that, even though we don't like to admit it a lot of times. Then, as followers of Jesus, our expectations should be to go beyond, you know, the simple temporary pleasures and achievements that the world often chases after. Why? Because we're called to set our sights on eternal things, to shift our focus from, you know, like the temporary fleeting to the lasting, from the world standards to God's promises. Our perspective should be shaped by the kingdom of God rather than the circumstances that surround us. It's not to say that we can't have goals for our life and strive for success and the comforts for our family. I think we need to have those goals and expectations in our lives, but I think the main focus should be on heavenly expectations. But let me ask you this. As Christians, what are we really expecting? The Bible is full of promises from God. And as Christians, we should be encouraged to hold on to these promises with unwavering faith. However, it's important to recognize that God's promises don't always align with the expectations that we might form based on our own desires or worldly perspectives. As a matter of fact, I'd say that they rarely align with our expectations because we often think in terms of immediate satisfaction or comfort or success, but God's timing and purpose and ways of achieving those are mostly, well, they're, in my case, they're always different, right? So let's look at a few examples here. Let's look at some of these promises that God gives us. The promise of eternal life. In John 14:2-3, Jesus says, "My Father's house has many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." This is the ultimate expectation for the believer. Our hope in life should not be rooted in a temporary victory, a temporary success, a temporary comfort, but in the eternal life to come. This hope should give us endurance and perspective through the trials that we face here on earth. While the world may expect quick fixes or worldly achievements, our Christian expectation is that one day God will set things right in his time. The next promise is the promise of comfort and trials. In John 16:33, Jesus tells his disciples, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It's a reminder to us as Christians that we're not exempt from the difficulties of life. I've talked about that a lot. Our expectation should not be that we will live a life free of suffering, but rather that Christ will be there with us through the storms, and we can 100% expect trials, difficulty, and storms, but we can also expect his peace and strength to carry us even in our darkest moments. And then we have a promise that he gives us at the end of the Great Commission, the promise of God's presence. Matthew 28:20 assures us that Jesus is always with us, even to the end of the age. And this is not a promise that we should just throw away, but one that we should anchor our hearts in every season of life. No matter what we face, we can expect that God will never leave us or forsake us. The truth should help us keep our expectations realistic, grounded not in what we see around us, but in the constant faithful presence of God. The world tells us that success means wealth, the accumulation of things or popularity, fame, a comfortable life. But for the Christian, success is defined by faithfulness, perseverance, and an unwavering hope in Christ. Our expectations should be centered on becoming more like Jesus, seeking his will, and living in light of the eternity he's promised. And I think that if we need to shape our expectations in light of God's word, and in order to live with the expectations that are grounded in faith and hope, it's crucial to align our hearts and minds with God's word. Now, I know a lot of people hearing that, me say that, are like, ugh, I knew it. I knew he was going to talk about telling us to read the Bible. Yeah, you do. You should definitely be reading that. See, the Bible offers wisdom on how to view life and in trials and the future. And it helps us to adjust our expectations from worldly ideals to what we need, which are heavenly truths. So there are three heavenly truths that I want to make sure that we have with us in forming our expectations. So number one is set realistic expectations in this broken world. It's important to recognize that while God promises us his presence, provision, and eternal life, he does not promise a life free of pain, disappointment, or hardship. Jesus himself faced rejection, suffering, and death. And here's the bad news. He assures us that we would face similar struggles. As Christian followers, believers, we should expect that life won't always be easy, but God's presence will sustain us through those trials. Number two, here's a scripture that is just something. I love this scripture. It'll get you through the rough times. Well, it should help out at least. I'll say that. This is straight up a hope-filled verse from Romans. And you should probably write it down or do something to remember this, right? In Romans 8:18, Paul reminds us, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. This is Paul talking. If you don't know much about Paul's struggles, he had a lot. Take a few minutes, research them. He went through some things none of us want to deal with. So when he says that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us, that is saying a whole lot, right? So you should do that. Romans 8:18, write it down. The second heavenly truth, have a hope that transcends your circumstances. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3:13-14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Our expectations as believers are rooted not in the temporary accomplishments or accolades of this world, but in the eternal prize of being with Christ forever. Every struggle and triumph here is an opportunity to grow in faith and prepare for the ultimate reward. And the third heavenly truth is expect God's will over your own. Sometimes, most times, our expectations are misaligned with God's will. They almost always will be. Probably. We may expect things to unfold in a certain way, but God's plans are always far greater than what we can imagine. In Isaiah 55:8-9, God reminds us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So as we walk in faith, it's essential that we continually surrender our own expectations to the will of God, trusting that he has a plan that is perfect and his timing is always right. So what does that all really mean? We as Christians need to remind ourselves that our expectations should reflect the reality of God's promises rather than the temporary hopes that we or the world thinks that we should have. There are these expectations we should have and trust And we should expect his presence in our trials. We should expect his peace amidst our troubles. We should expect his eternal life after our earthly journey. These expectations are not only realistic, they're certain because they're based on the truth of God's word and his unchanging character. So today, let's adjust our expectations. Let's move from the world's view of success, comfort, victory to the biblical expectations of faithfulness, perseverance, and hope in Christ. And our ultimate hope is that through every high and low, we will one day stand in the presence of God, hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So let these, hopefully these expectations can shape our lives and give us strength to live with joy and purpose, knowing that our future is secure in Christ. Because guess what? The best is yet to come. Now, last week, I did something new. I added a couple questions at the end, reflection questions, and I got three more. So if you want to play along and listen to these, then here you go. Number one, what are some expectations that you've had that were not aligned with God's will? And how can you adjust those going forward? Number two, how does the promise of eternal life help you endure the challenges you face today? And then lastly, number three, what are some ways you can refocus your expectations to better reflect your hope in Christ? So that's what I have. Hope you guys are going to make it through Snowmageddon. And hopefully, if we're not buried in snow by next week, you'll see me next Wednesday. So you have a good one. See you next week.